Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Rob Brown Show back here on the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, Rob Brown, the Great Alonzo, and you, 844-326-3663 is the number. If you'd like to be a part of the show, we would certainly love to have you join us this AM. You can call that show, get on the air. You can text that show. We will read it on the air. We would love for you to be a part of the show with us. I'm going to talk baseball, but I'm going to talk baseball very briefly here for just uno momento, if you don't mind. And then we'll get back to the football, because coming up in the very next segment of the radio program, Hayden Asmario is going to join us. It's been a minute since we've had Mario on the show. Mario is a North Carolina guy. He is all in on the Heels.
Very interested to see if he let the hair go again.
He has started to. He's got a very late 80s, early 90s, kind of like early Dawson's Creek vibe going right now. Very bro, very, very surfer bro vibe going down. I think you'll appreciate it. We've got Hayden Asmario coming up. We will get his thoughts in just a few minutes from now on this Clemson-North Carolina matchup. Because for all the conversation that we have had about the get-right game for Clemson, This is a big game for North Carolina as well. Like, this is a game where Hoodie can at least take a step towards trying to prove that hiring him wasn't an abject failure. But if Clemson comes out and hammers them by 29 after losing to Syracuse, it's going to look real bad on him as well. So I'm interested to see what Mario has to say about that side of it, that angle of it. And we will get to that coming up in a few minutes. We got to get, interestingly enough, a NCAA basketball story in here. Because, according to reports, one from Ross Dellinger in particular, apparently the NCAA basketball tournament may be announcing in the next week or two that they are indeed expanding. But to what number?
Oh, come on.
We'll talk about that coming up here in just a few minutes from now. But I want to get to baseball. Because you shall remember, I assume, that ABS is coming to Major League Baseball games, regular season, and playoffs next year. And if you missed the story, first off, congratulations for getting out from underneath that rock that you have been living under. I'm glad you've rejoined us. It will be on a...
That's kind of harsh.
I mean, listen, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal because when it makes baseball better, those of you that have been anti more correct calls in sports are going to have to say, Rob Brown, you were right. Turns out you're a genius. You know ball. And I'll say thanks.
I know that you prepare for things. Have you prepared to deal with it if it doesn't make it better?
No.
I know in your mind there's no way that it could not, but what if it doesn't make it better?
No, it will. It's already done that. It's already done it at the minor league system. It's already done it in spring training. I've already seen it happen. It's already made the game better. And let me explain to you why it has made the game better. Last night, we had a Major League Baseball game take place in Chicago, Illinois, the Windy City, where the Chi-Town Cubs were at home trying to protect this house, click-clack, against the San Diego Padres. The Padres, a very good baseball team, a 90-win baseball team this year. And in fact, they were the pick of a number of very smart baseball knowers, including my dear friend, colleague, and sometimes co-host Cody Decker. They were the pick to be the shot National League winner because good pitching, really good bullpen, good lineup of hitters. So last night, they were on the road at Chicago. It is the top of the ninth inning in Chicago, Illinois. Brad Keller is on the bump for the Cubbies. Xander Bogaerts is at the dish, top nine. Nobody on, nobody out. They are down a pair of runs. Very overcomable with the team, with the bats that the Padres have. And this happened. Carson Kelly, the catcher for the San Diego Padres, who indeed fooled the umpire. That pitch was a solid 4 to 5 inches below the zone. Like this wasn't a pitch where you go, oh, it was close and we need the K zone. This wasn't close. Let's get the laser level out and find out. Let's go get that million frame per second camera out. This was clearly and evidently across the shins of Xander Bogaerts. And Carson Kelly puts the glove down, pow, pulls it up real quick, frames it, as catchers have done historically when ABS wasn't available to, you know, trick the umpire into making an incorrect call. Brad Keller threw a bad pitch on 3-2 to a very dangerous base runner in Xander Bogaerts, a guy who has steal-a-bag capabilities, a guy who has first two home on a double capability, a guy that could have brought the Padres within one. And, of course, a guy who, batting fifth in the lineup, had Ryan O'Hearn, an all-star behind him, had Gavin Sheets, who won a World Series with the Dodgers behind him, who had Jake Cronenworth batting eighth, a guy who got paid a gazillion dollars to leave the Rockies and come over. 1-2-3 extra base hitters behind Xander Bogaerts, which is 1-2-3 potentially more runs. And keep in mind, no outs. That is a threat to steal runner on first base with zero outs, with all-star, World Series winner, and million-dollar, multi-million-dollar man Jake Cronenworth behind him. And if all three of those guys can get on, not only is the game likely tied, but you get through a couple of those guys, you come to a part where you've got Fernando Tatis back at the dish, Luis Urias back at the dish, Manny Machado, Jackson Merrill coming up in the top of the order, if you can get there. And with zero outs and batting five, you just need three of the five guys batting from fifth to ninth. Three of those five get on base. I'm bringing up a murderer's row of Tatis, Arias, Machado, and Merrill. A murderer's row if I can get there. But instead we got the punch him up, ring him up. DJ Rayburn, the umpire, rings him up on a ball that is across the shins. This is the reason. Back in, you know, April, May, when we have a missed call and I bring it up and people go, eh, Rob, it's a regular season game. Just like you all do when I complain about teams losing in stupid ways. And I say, hey, you know, sometimes teams miss the playoffs by a single win. Am I right? New York Mets, who missed the playoffs by a single win and lost a lot of stupid games in a lot of stupid ways. And I called it out and people go, oh, Rob, there's 162 games. I'm aware. And one of them can keep you out of the playoffs, New York Mets. So, when this happens in the regular season, I think because baseball plays 162 games, a lot of y'all go, it's one bad call, it's one game, it doesn't matter. This was an elimination game in the postseason. An elimination game in the playoffs. For a team that, yes, was a wild card squad, but they were only a wild card squad because they played in the same division as the LA Dodgers. Who, yes, the 3 seed, were the 3 seed and miserably failed to meet expectations and were still the 3 seed. And oh, by the way, the only team that swept in round number one. I'm not saying the Padres would have won this baseball game. I'm saying the likelihood, the possibility, the opportunity for the Fathers to win this baseball game exponentially decreased because of an abysmal call. I'm not talking about a judgment call, a borderline. It was at the knees, but was it right below? Was it at it? Was it good? I'm not talking about it was close. I'm talking about this was a very obvious before the call got made when I was watching this game yesterday afternoon. As soon as that crossed the dish and I saw the umpire, DJ Rayburn, pop up, because I, you know, obviously you watch enough of these games, you start to see when guys are doing their, hey, everybody, look at me, strikeout dance. When he popped up, I'm like, there's no way. There's no way he's calling this a strike. Bogarts has got to be on his way to first. And he was, except for then he got told, you're out, you're done, you're cooked. Strike three. What? It was obvious on the pitch. I didn't need a replay. It was painfully clear it was a ball. Next year, that is a moment where Xander Bogarts is going to turn around, he's going to look at DJ Rayburn, and he is going to aggressively as hell tap the side of the helmet and go, why don't you take a look at that one and own it, big fella? Why don't you take a look at own this? Because yesterday, that pitch was a huge part of the reason that the San Diego Padres are on a flight home this morning because of that call. This is why, cool, we have ABS. It's the two-challenge system. Every team gets two challenges to start the game. If you make a challenge and it is successful, you retain the challenge. If you make the challenge and it is unsuccessful, you lose the challenge. Why are we not just going to just radar every pitch? Just laser every pitch. Why do we have to waste time with the challenge and waiting for the call and getting the video up on the Jumbotron and resetting the pitch clock and resetting the pitcher and resetting the catcher, resetting the batter, reset it? Just do it and let's get this over with so we can move on so that this, a call that, again, not saying they would have, but all they had to do was get three of five batters aboard. There was number one with, by the way, three outs still to play with, get one guy on. And the Padres circle back around to the leadoff man and four consecutive all-star caliber players coming to the plate, needing at that point, if they were able to do that, probably one more run to tie, maybe one more run to take the lead and not only not get eliminated, but to move on. How are we still good with this? If you want to say in April, I don't care, human element, that's fine. I'm willing to bet that there are a lot of sad Fathers fans waking up this morning in San Diego, California, that if you were to say the words human element to them, they'd probably punch you in the nose. Because it was, again, I'm not going to say it was the human element that lost them the game. What lost them the game was allowing the Cubs to score three and only finding the bags enough times to score one leading up to that point. What I am saying is, when you say human element, the players are the human element. The players. The players are the only human element that should matter. I get so exhausted when I hear the words human element because there is a human element to baseball. It is the humans that play baseball. A strike is a strike and a ball is a ball. It should not matter what the human thinks about it. It's either a ball or it's a strike. One or two. No other options. This is what I have been talking about. And throughout the course of the regular season, when we were talking about this stuff, through the course of the regular season, when I was saying, hey, this umpire just had a 20% failure call rate. Why are we not going ABS? And you guys kept saying, it's 162 games, Rob, who cares? I kept throwing out the hypothetical. Cool, but what happens if a blown call cost a team a playoff series? Not a game, but a series. And again, maybe the Padres don't win. Maybe Keller goes, okay, I'm not getting the low strikes. I got to bring it up a little bit. Leans back on the heater, strikes out the next three guys. Maybe. But wouldn't you rather know that? Wouldn't you rather that call be correct? Xander Bogarts goes to first. There's no outs because Bogarts again. Keller throws a breaking ball. Bogarts checks out. He's on second base. Now there's no force out. Now the next hitter gets something. The only outs at first, meaning Bogarts has got the opportunity to play it safe, be aggressive, go to third. Now I got runners on the corners. And just like that, extra base hit ties the game up. Like, I don't get it. I don't get at this point how anybody, especially after seeing last night a bad call, maybe not cause the Padres to lose, but cost the Padres, in my opinion, the opportunity to win. Because now, I'm at spot number six in the lineup with two outs to work with instead of spot number six with a man on, the tying run at the dish, and all three outs to work with a pitcher who might be a little bit rattled. Like, This is why I complain. This is why I have a problem. This is why I am ready for ABS. I'll take the challenge system because it's the compromise, and I know I'm going to need like 2 to 3 seasons. For those of you who still think the human element should apply to anything except human baseball players. But it's going to work. Because last night, you get a tap on the helmet. The umpire turns around. He goes, after review, the call is overturned. It is a ball 4. He, runner, takes his base. Now the game is changed. Now there's tension in the air hovering over Wrigley Field, which is baseball at its best. Instead, I got that. Not cool, man. Not cool, bro. That's the takeaway. It was embarrassing. Go to it full time. Just do it. You've already got the tech. I know you have the tech because you're literally using it. Just do that. Let's move on so that this isn't a thing anymore. All right, when we come back, we start our lineup of guests. We've got Hayden Asimario joining us in the next segment of the show. He will break down from the UNC perspective this Clemson, North Carolina game tomorrow. Then Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, pulls up. We'll talk to him about what the hell happened last weekend against New England and how they can get it fixed on the road at Miami, a very winnable game this weekend. Then we have got the boys from the Moving the Chains podcast stopping by at 9 a.m. straight up. We will talk to them about the high school football weekend coming up. And then at 9:20, Denton Day, host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime, pulls up. We'll get his thoughts on the weekend. We finna get busy, y'all. And I mean that in every sense of the word. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob.
No.
The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. The Fan Upstate. The 2025 edition of Mad World is open and ready to give you the fright of your life. It is fresh, intense, and entertaining. That's how they're describing their 15th year of fear. Why? Fresh. They have added all new scenes to their over 1.5 miles of haunted trails and houses. Intense. They have more actors, more effects, more scares than ever before. And entertaining because, well, because it is entertaining. Not only do they have over 1.5 miles of award-winning haunted houses and trails, but on top of that, they have got a photo booth and VR zombie shooting and mini golf and axe throwing and food and drink and bonfires and so much fun for the entire family. So if you are a fan of the spooky season, go to madworldattractions.com, pick up your tickets today. They are good for any day that Mad World is open. Go to madworldattractions.com, get your tickets today, and get ready for the fright of your life with the 2025 edition of Mad World.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Alonzo, and now making his triumphant return to the show because I was able to find a reason and excuse to get him back on the air. He is a producer, analyst, and all-around good taker haver for ESPN Chicago. Joining us now, back on the show, Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hayden Asimario. What's up, dude?
What's up, beautiful? I mean, the mustache, I got to ask, was this your idea, Lonzo's idea, or the wife's idea?
No,
he's the biggest fan.
It was my idea. The wife went out of town for a week. Your boy is in the midst of his. It's not a midlife crisis. It's like an identity crisis.
Well, I mean, technically, it's a midlife crisis because you talk about how long people.
I mean, lucky to get to 80. So it is midlife, but like it's all more right. Identity crisis. She was gone for a week. I don't know if she was going to hate it or not. I didn't know if I was going to hate it or not. So I decided to go for it while she was gone, and that was 2 weeks ago, and I still haven't committed to it yet. It's okay. You know,
it looks good. It's very full. That's good.
No, it's not. That's the problem. It just looks that way on camera. It's real bad.
Really? Do you shave that middle part or does it just doesn't grow?
It just does that.
Does that.
Okay. It just does that. That's the problem. If that would fill in, I have a white trash mustache. I have a mustache that says
he was wearing a plain white tee last week.
Yeah.
You missed it.
It was bad. I have a mustache that says I listen to Kid Rock in a cornfield mustache. Like that's what I'm rolling with right now.
But that's good though. So I have one of my brothers. I would say he was going through a midlife crisis and he did the full stash and a really bad mullet. And he was wearing wife beaters 24/7.
No, I'm not that bad.
I think wife beaters is a good look.
Yeah.
You sure, buddy?
That's commitment right there.
I'm not. I just bought a necklace. That was pretty much
I just realized.
I'm going to buy a bracelet. So I kind of get that.
There you go. I realize Freddie Mercury vibes now.
I'll take that.
Okay.
I'll take that.
Will you?
I'll take that.
I don't know.
Could be way worse.
It
could be way worse.
Sorry, little Freddy.
Hating ass Mario is here, ladies and gentlemen, because coming up tomorrow, the 1-3 Clemson Tigers are on the road in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And things are not exactly going the way that the hoodie and the gang had hoped they would go in Chapel Hill either. So this is a pair of teams, both with the opportunity ahead of them to either get right or just completely fix the image. Mario is here as a North Carolina guy to break this game down from the baby blue perspective. So let me start with the overall question, hating ass Mario. Can North Carolina win this game?
Look, I think they can because Clemson's clearly falling off a cliff right now. And how much inspiration do these guys really have? Now more than ever, we've seen in college football, players give up. Or they're out there for themselves. They're thinking transfer portal. They're thinking, what's my next destination? Get me to the NFL or get me a bigger bag. It's very hard now in this world, this NIL world, to keep your guys motivated if not really playing for something. Especially when you have a program that has such high expectations as Clemson did going into the season. And they're supposed to be the year that Dabo shows everyone that the old school way is possible. All that being said, this North Carolina team is not a very talented team at all. This offense is very, very brutal. Their receivers are really bad at getting separation. They're not great at getting open. That was a worry going into this season. We had the one drive versus TCU, which I'm not going to lie, guys. After that first drive, Rob, I almost texted you, and I'll hand up. I texted probably 10 people. I was thinking ACC champion. It's oh, dude, this team might be special. But then they came back down to earth. Can UNC win this game? Yes. Ultimately, do I think that's going to happen? I go, no. I think Clemson does pound UNC in this one. But there is a route. There is a way. We're going to find out pretty quickly how ready this Clemson team is and if they're still committed to that one goal of winning the ACC, of making it to the playoffs.
So Dabo said a couple of weeks ago, this team can't win a national championship. I think right now, based on what we're seeing out of Miami, if Florida State beats Clemson next weekend, same situation there. I don't know that an ACC championship is on the table for Clemson at this point. It's a pride thing for this team now. It is a pride in the paw, pride in the program, whatever. That's all well and good. And the Clemson fans will have you believe, the players in this program think it's special. They love being here. It's all about it. And if you go talk to former Clemson players, they all have that same kind of attitude mentality. That being said, Mario, do you feel like from the North Carolina perspective, a team that it felt the last couple of years right there on the edge of going from third tier to second tier, is the narrative amongst Carolina fans the same thing that would have a team full of guys that go, okay, maybe we can't win an ACC title, but we can go beat Clemson. And even if it's a bad Clemson team, that still means something.
For sure. I think it's if it was flipped and it was basketball, right? You have a chance to beat North Carolina. When a coach at the end of the year, when you talk to your AD, you go, will we beat North Carolina? And you hang your hat on that. That's exactly what this program at UNC has a chance to do is go, hey, we beat Clemson. And doesn't matter how good they were, we still took them out because they've struggled against Clemson too. Like, I think the last time they beat them, if I got this right, was in 2010, was the last time they beat Clemson. So that is a big stepping stone. And Belichick has been pretty honest in saying, like, yeah, like, this is going to be a process. Like, this wasn't going to be something that was overnight, and this program is going to be one of the best in the country. That wasn't going to happen here. Nor do I think really the expectation was there, as crazy that is to say. I always said, like, the ceiling for every UNC team is 4 losses. That is a great year. That is fantastic. I don't think there's expectation for anything beyond that. The floor is being less than 500. That's the floor of the program. But if I think they're looking at this game going, hey, if we beat Clemson, we can get people more excited about our football team. Bell's probably like, I can get more boosters behind us. I can get people to trust me. And Rob, I think the best part of this game, it's literally the old school NFL versus the old school college football of like the minds. That's like the most interesting part of this whole thing, even though they got bumped in times and it went from a game everyone cares about to a game where people are probably taking a nap.
I think that's fair. Here is the question, and then I want to spend a minute or two on the X's and O's of what we will see happen on the field. Have people already jumped ship with Bill Belichick? Because the game against UCF, and again, it's not even the loss, it's how you lost that game, A. But then that picture started floating around of him on the sideline while the team's warming up, talking to Jordan. And that was the moment, like I told you coming into this year, I think it's going to be an abject failure and I think it's going to end awful. But when that picture dropped, that's the moment that I was like, I think more people are on my side than not now.
There is a frustration, and that's not great. Anytime you're losing and then you have Jordan pop up and that whole saga kind of continues, it's going to get overhyped. It's going to get absolutely exclamation points on top of it because you're not winning on the field. People are getting sick of it, but also, Rob, like, the expectations for Carolina football are so low. And the thing I always say repeatedly anytime I talk to someone and you know they're really against Bill Belichick or like was against the move as a whole is even if you got the next Saban, even if you got the next Lane Kiffin, they're there for 2 years, maybe three, and then they're gone. Poof. Off to the big SEC program, off to LSU, off to A&M, off to maybe a Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State, and then they're gone. And you had your little fun, but you're probably not going to win again. So why not take a risk with this guy that's the greatest coach we've ever seen and let him go for a little bit? Yes, it's going to be rough. He's learning a new game. He's learning the college football. Keep letting him learn. I give him 2 years. Give him 2 to 3 years. That's how long his contract is anyways. Then we get his nuts of a son that comes in and apparently is going to run the show. It's like, okay, let's sign this up again. But I still think give it time. I think Carolina fans are pretty patient in giving time. He doesn't have as short of a leash, I think, as like a Hubert Davis does right now in North Carolina.
That's fair. Talk to me about the quarterback situation. Gio Lopez came in. He got the start. It did not go the way that you wanted it to. Max Johnson, who, of course, had that gruesome injury last year, fortunately able to get back on the football field. He's gotten quite a few snaps. He's only thrown like 30 passes, but looks better as a passer than Max Johnson, which no shock. Like, the thought was Gio Lopez was going to utilize the legs. Are we committed to Gio Lopez as the starter? Will Clemson fans see more Max Johnson? Are you guys moving towards a two-quarterback system? What's the signal caller spot look like?
So I know Gio didn't practice at all during the bye week, and then he hasn't really practiced this week. Or if he has, it's just in like walkthroughs. Neither quarterback for North Carolina has thrown for over 160 passing yards yet this year. So that's always good when your QBs are just playing that well. I think it's going to be soon, at least, is going to be Max Johnson's job. He's just more experienced. I think he's a better quarterback. I actually trust him more in a game like this than Gio does, even though Gio is probably like a little bit more talented. But Max has just kind of been around the block. I don't think he's going to be as rattled facing a Clemson team. I think he's going to be able to handle the pressure a little bit more. I think after this game, when Gio's like a little bit healthier, they might have a dual two QB problem situation. And what Bill Belichick decides to do with that, we shall see. We've seen it in his past where he's very quick to move on from a guy, from the Tom Brady and Drew Bledsoe to Mac Jones and Cam Newton, where we all thought it was Cam Newton going to the season, and next thing you know, Cam Newton's cut and Mac Jones is the official starter. So he moves quickly. If Max performs well in this game, I think you're going to see a new QB1 for the rest of the season, and Bill Belichick's not going to think twice about it.
All right, X's and O's perspective. We've got about 60 seconds left. What does this game look like to you? What is the North Carolina angle of attack, and how does it finish?
So I think it's pretty simple. If you're North Carolina, you pressure Cade Klubnik, and then you keep him off the field. I think you try to establish the run as best as you can, and you just really drain the hell out of that clock. I think it's going to be a very, very low-scoring game. Both these offenses do not light up the scoreboard. I think currently Clemson's the worst scoring offense in the ACC right now, and then Carolina's like, hey, don't worry, we're close to you at 15th. So it's just not a pretty sight for both teams. But they're going to, I think, pressure Cade, keep that offense off the field, and just handle that pass rush and handle that front that Clemson has, and just slowly drip that thing away. Make this the Bill Belichick ugly-ass game that you can. Make it the game of Patriots versus Bills in that terrible, terrible weather where it was like 10-3 and we all wanted to, you know, take a fork to our eyes, but we won the game. I think that's North Carolina's point attack in this one. That's how you kind of do it. And get that crowd back into you for North Carolina. Get that crowd going. Maybe a start off like you do with TCU. Great first drive. And then after that, let's Bob Knight the game and do a little four-corner football, baby. And just drain that clock.
Does the crowd show up for this? Or are they checked out?
They're pretty checked out.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I've been to a Carolina football game. They're pretty checked out.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Hayden S. Mario, Mario Heron. He works for ESPN Chicago. Kind enough to join us here on the program. Brother, good to have you back, big dog. Let's do some more radio things soon.
I would love to do more radio things. And just for the people, because I know you guys do the Fight Club. And it's Alex Pereira this weekend. Comes back, gets the belt, baby.
You're not the first person to say that. So
okay.
Ooh, right. Are you also on Alex?
Maybe.
You missed Fight Club. It was yesterday. Mario Heron from ESPN Chicago. Buddy, good to have you back, brother. We'll talk again soon.
Great to be back. First show with the background.
It is. So you almost look like an adult. Almost. Almost.
I'm trying to.
The facial hair. That's what you should do.
I have no room to make jokes right now.
No. Not Mario's facial hair. His facial hair is hitting it. I don't know what you're doing. So.
Yeah, yes, it is, Rob. Too bad.
When we come back, Rashad Beard is the host of the Panther Nation podcast. Embarrassing effort from Carolina last week. How do they not do that again this week? That's next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good advice. Good advice and very accurate. Speaking of losing games, joining us now on the radio program.
Wow. You couldn't have got in there a little bit lighter, a little bit, I mean, you know.
Hey, let me put it this way. Rashad Beard, we bring up the Panthers. You in a good mood?
I mean, I'm fine. I mean, if we're talking about the Panthers, no, I'm not. But personally, I'm good.
I mean, listen. I've gotten to hang out with Rashad Beard away from the radio station a couple times, and I can tell you, he is genuinely a cheerful, happy fella every single time I've spoken to him on and off the air. But I got to imagine last Sunday around, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, those pearly whites probably weren't getting a lot of flash time on the internet is what I'm saying.
I mean, you're right. But ultimately, I kind of figured I never let myself get too fooled by the Atlanta game, right? The Atlanta game was great, 30-0. It was a needed W. But I never let myself fall into the trap because I need to see consistency. You know, we We're a team that finished strong last year. We expected that same energy to come into this year, and we haven't seen it thus far. And so I never got too far ahead of myself to allow that W to kind of say, oh, we've got it done now. So I really was not surprised the way the Panthers came out and performed. It's kind of part of the course for the Panthers. And if any Panthers fan has been around for the past eight years, this is not a surprise at all. So I'm actually okay. I'm okay.
So let's start with the obvious one. I said on Monday morning, the only word I had to describe that game was embarrassing. I saw that your reaction stream, you used the exact same word to describe that game. Man, I went back to pull the X's and O's of that game and try to hone in on, like, let's pick two or three things that went wrong. And this is not a great thing to say on the radio for the purposes of an engaging interview, Rashad Beer, but the answer I got to the question of what went wrong was pretty much damn near everything.
Yeah, everything went wrong. I think, you know, and what makes it even more frustrating is that we started the game so well. The offense came out firing on all cylinders. He had a 76-yard drive, 4 minutes. I mean, Bryce was cooking. It looked great. I thought we were going to really railroad the Patriots. And then we missed the extra point, and after that, it went downhill from there. Special teams, we've been pretty solid on special teams all season long. And we allow these two punt returns, or one punt return for a touchdown, then another long punt return. And, you know, it's just, you can't win like that. And it's just, if it's not one thing, it's another for the Panthers. We've only seen one game of consistent, you know, complimentary football. And that was with the Atlanta Falcons. And until we see that on a consistent basis, this Panthers team will lose way more games than they win. And that's just bottom line.
So I hate to go with another kind of broad, open-ended question, but if we can't find consistency on this football team, which you're right, we haven't, and I'm not just talking game to game. I think at spots you could say it's drive to drive consistency for this football team. The question then becomes why? And obviously, like, the obvious answer is, well, the buck stops at the top with Dave Canales. And I agree with that. In fact, I said on Monday, I think my goodwill for Dave Canales is exhausted. I don't think I have any more of that, like, I like the guy, give him, like, I need to see something here, and I've seen nothing. What is preventing that consistency in game and from game to game that we did see for 4, 5, 6 weeks last year and now just doesn't exist?
It's such a loaded question that I don't know who to blame. We've had injuries. You've had, Robert Hunt go down, which is a big part of offensive line. You're missing Xavier Leggett. You're missing Jalen Coker. So you can say injuries are a factor, sure. You can say that Bryce Young is missing guys that are open in the play calls. You can blame the play calls. You can blame a lot of different things. But ultimately, it really doesn't matter. I mean, somebody, we have to find a way to get this thing figured out. And it appears, and I hate to go down this path, but it really appears that the marriage between Bryce Young and Dave Canales is not working out. We need marriage counseling. We need therapy. Something needs to happen between those two because it's not working, right? I don't know what's going on. One would say that, you know, Canales doesn't trust Bryce Young. Bryce Young would say, hey, he's not calling the right plays. There's something missing here. And so we need to get it figured out. We cannot sit up here and blame the talent all the time. We've got enough talent on this. I'm tired of hearing about, oh, he needs more talent. He needs more talent. You got T-Mac running wide open. You got to hit him. I mean, stop it with the excuses with talent. So I'm tired of all the excuses about what's going wrong. Let's just fix it. Let's get it right.
I think that's fair. And I saw, to throw this at you, predominantly because I'm curious to your reaction to it, I saw some people going back and forth about it, a couple of Panther fans on Twitter on Monday. And the argument was, the belief is that Canales and Idzik, in the way that they're calling plays, maybe it's not about a trust of Bryce Young, it's a lack of trust in the offensive line. And obviously, like you mentioned, you've got a couple of injuries. Now you've got even more injuries that you've got to deal with across the OL. It was a lack of trust in the OL that is limiting diving into the same open playbook of pass plays that you saw in the second half of last season. But then the other guy was like, no, it's Bryce Young. Like, they don't trust the kid to stand in the pocket, make the throws. We've seen him stand in the pocket, make the throws. But we've also seen the offensive line have a good day blocking like you did in Atlanta. I got to be honest, dude. Like, I claim to know ball, but brother, I'm lost.
Yeah, Rob, we're missing one guy from the offensive line. I mean, let's keep it a buck. I mean, we lost Corbett, but guess who was starting during the 5-game streak of the end of the year last year? It was Cade Mays. So Cade Mays is a more than a capable starter. So I don't count him as a loss. He is actually an upgrade, to be honest. So the only injury on the offensive line is Robert Hunt. It's a big one. But if we can't sustain off of one injury, then we've got some serious, serious issues. And that's where I get into, we gotta get this thing figured out. We've got to stop it with the excuses. And so there is blame to go across the board. I don't know what it is, whether it's Bryce Young, whether it's Canales. I don't really care who. I just need to get it fixed. Like, we need to get these problems solved. And somebody needs to look in the mirror, or somebody needs to go. Whether it's both of them, one of them, somebody needs to go, unless this thing doesn't get turned around. We saw it. That's the frustrating part, Rob, is that we saw it at the end of the season last year. The guys were playing well. That's what makes it really frustrating. It was fixed. He was benched. After he came back, it was great. And we're back to where we were last year prior to the benching. So I don't know what it is. We got to get it fixed, man.
I don't disagree. So the take I had Monday was, I am at the point where the goodwill with Dave Canales is worn off, because it's not just that it was a follow from last year. It's that there's no consistency game to game. I heard him in his post-game press conference where he came out and every answer was, it's on me, right? And I, for what it's worth, I appreciate that. Like, you're even if it's fraudulent, like, you're taking the accountability. I got to figure out what makes these guys click. I got to figure out how to prepare them better. But then I heard Derek Brown, J.C. Horn, and two or three other guys that all kind of had a similar comment of, we have claimed to be a player-led team, and we don't really have any player leaders right now. J.C. said, like, Dave's going to say that because he's the head coach, he's got to, but this is on us. We can't just have a great week of practice and forget to show the hell up on Sunday. Derek Brown said specifically, if we're going to be a player-led team, we need players to get up and lead. I think that is kind of a takeaway for me, Rashad, is that as I'm watching this game last Sunday, that had a great start before a nuclear explosion catastrophe, I didn't see anybody grabbing face masks, slapping shoulder pads. I didn't see Bryce Young directing the offense. I didn't see the offensive line talking to each other. I didn't see Chuba Hubbard directing the O-line. On defense, which is usually where you have the most vocal leaders, I didn't see anything. And I think that the big fear that I have, Rashad Beard, is that the team has checked out. And if that is the case, then Dave Canales is a dead man walking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and Rob, I'm tired of the words, right? We hear the same thing after every big loss. Oh, it's on me from the coach. Oh, it's on us as players. Oh, blah, bro, we're tired of that. We're beyond what we've been listening to that for 8 years. Like, we're tired of that. There was a time when we had Cam Newton here where we were fighting. When guys weren't doing their jobs, people were getting checked, right? That's what we need. We need real leaders, that somebody's going to step up. We have too many nice guys. Our quarterback is a nice guy. Derrick Brown, I love Derrick Brown as a player, but he's not a vocal guy. J.C. Horn, cool. We need somebody that's going to really step up and take ownership, right? There's nobody here that's going to just say, hey, the onus is on me. I'm going to step up. I'm going to be a leader. I'm not going to allow this team to fail. That's what Cam Newton did. That's why people love Cam Newton, because he would not let this team fail. He was tired of seeing all the jerseys in the stands, right? All the other opposing teams' jerseys in the stands. He was tired of seeing that. He took ownership. We don't have anybody on the roster doing that on either side of the football. We had TD on the defensive side of the football. Luke was a leader that showed by example. We don't have any of those guys. Everybody's collecting checks. And that's just the honest truth. That's the blunt, honest truth. Nobody is taking ownership. And it's sickening.
All right. This is around the time where changes are made to save jobs. So assistant coach, which is the first assistant coach they fired to supposedly fix this?
No, I mean, no. Listen, there's nobody's going to get fired and this is going to get fixed overnight. I mean,
But this is usually the pattern that they follow.
Yeah, you're right. It is. And I think To be honest, if you're going to scapegoat fire anybody, I mean, yeah, you could fire an assistant wide receivers coach or assistant coach or something like that, but I don't think that really is going
to
change anything.
Strength and conditioning is usually the way to go.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something like it really doesn't matter, right? But I do think there will be – if we continue to lose, somebody's going to get fired. They're going to, you know, have a scapegoat fire, which is not going to change anything. Ultimately, there needs to be changes made from the top down if they cannot get this fixed. I do like Canales as a coach. I do think Bryce is capable. They just need to figure it out. I don't know what it is. They need to figure it out. Long term, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Zoe. I don't know what they're going to do.
The frustrating thing I think about this team, Rashad Beard, is that usually when you and I get together and we have these conversations, you bring up stuff that I go, damn, it's a good point. I like that. Occasionally, once in a blue moon, I'll say something that you go, good take, Rob Brown. Like, it's rare. I get it, but it happens. The frustrating thing is we can sit here on this radio for the 12 minutes we've been doing this so far, and it is just a whole bunch of, I don't know, man. So are we going to see the step in T-shirts out of the PNP this year?
So I don't know. I don't know, man. People have been calling for it. People have been calling for the March on Mint. And I'm kind of like, I don't even know if I want to give it that energy, man. Like, it's like, I don't know. I don't even know. Because we've been so bad under Tepper, like, unless he's gone, I really don't see anything really changing, to be honest with you. And you can't get rid of an owner. So, like, I don't know what's going to happen, man. He and I give him his credit. He has been out of the limelight. They did get a pic, you know, a little video of him marching out of the stadium looking pretty perturbed. But he hasn't done much. But I'm sure his influence is in the building day to day. I don't know, man. I'm kind of like almost checked out with along with the team as well, just to be honest.
No, listen, it's fair. I get it. Like, that is part of being a fan. Do you think you're in a spot? I guess this is a long-term question, and then we'll let you get back to your real life, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast. Do you feel like you guys are in a spot where as long as Tepper is here, you can't do anything? There's a lot of teams like that, Dallas Cowboys. Like, do you feel like you're in that spot?
It feels like it. It certainly feels like it. I thought he made some good moves. It's just not translating, right? I thought this offseason was setting us up for success. I think everything that we've done, all the players that we bought in, even the draft class, I thought it all aligned to us being successful. So I can't say that, you know, oh, he's done some terrible things that just, you know, from a field standpoint, just, you know, are taking us in the wrong direction. But it's something is not right, and we just can't put our finger on it. I don't know what it is, but I felt like we were heading in the right direction. It's just not working out. And ultimately, there's one common denominator, and that's David Tepper. And until we see some things change on the field and get some W's, that's where I'm at.
I think it's fair. Rashad Beard hosts the Panther Nation podcast. You can follow them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, go follow them on the YouTube channel, Panther Nation Podcast. Make sure you subscribe. You turn the bell notification on, because I'm assuming for at least one more week you're going to keep the pod going before you just blow the whole thing up.
No. We're going to keep it going, man. The pod is going to be the pod. Everybody's been asking me. We did have another pod that decided to retire, and I don't blame them, just because the product on the field has been awful. But
wow,
we're going to stick around.
Wow. Yeah. The team is so bad, we're done.
It's that bad, yeah. I'm serious. There's another podcast out there that hung it up and said they don't have the time or energy to support this team anymore. And so I don't blame them one bit. But PNP is going to stick around. We've been through the worst of the worst. And so we're going to hang around and hopefully see it get better.
I love it. Rashad Beard, Panther Nation Podcast. My man, good to talk to you, brother. We'll do it again next week. And hopefully it'll be better. Hopefully.
Keep pounding, I guess. That's all we can do is keep pounding.
It's so bad. We didn't even talk about the damn game this week. Like, that's how bad it is right now. That's rough.
It's bad, man.
That's rough.
No expectations. No expectations. That's all I can do.
I appreciate it. See you, big dog. Rashad Beard, Panther Nation Podcast. When we come back, Kevin and John and Jarrell, some combination of the three.
Okay, because you made it sound definite, like all three were going to be here, and now you're...
Yeah, because I started with Kevin, but then I just realized that it was John and Jarrell, so I'm going to assume it's John and Jarrell and no Kev today, but we'll find out. Actually, Kevin was here by himself this week. I bet he was like, screw you guys, you do it. I've had enough Rob Brown. We'll find out who joins us to set up your Friday Night Lights when we come back. Denton Day talks college football after that. We make our picks and predictions to wrap up the show after that. Sports Flash, Schlitter, now.
So weird. By the way, people who are still watching, if you're still watching, I have a computer screen. It's elevated. I'm not looking at the ceiling. I'm working. You know who did not work last night? That would be Brock Purdy. It took overtime, but the San Francisco 49ers knocked off the LA Rams 26-23. The Niners ran for only 74 yards, but backup quarterback Mac Jones, who did work, completed 33 of 49 passes for 342 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Rams quarterback Matt Stafford had 389 passing yards and all three touchdowns in the loss. The Rams were stuffed on fourth down in overtime to end the game. That was Rob's words, not mine. The Detroit Tigers eliminated the Cleveland Guardians with a 6-3 win yesterday. Tigers had 10 hits, including a homer from Dylan Dingler in the sixth and a trio of RBI singles in the seventh. And the Chicago Cubs ended the Padres season with a 3-1 win in game three. And the Yankees shut out the Red Sox 4-0.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.